Hi, men. I'm Jonathan Daugherty, author of Grace-Based Recovery, and I'd love for you to join us in one of our upcoming online study groups. These eight-week groups take you through all the key principles of recovery from the Grace-Based Recovery book in a small group setting with other men on the same journey. The format is really simple and secure. We keep the groups to 10 men max, and we meet online in a private video room, so your story is safe with us. These groups are led by men who have traveled this road themselves and know firsthand how grace is the true engine of recovery and life transformation. I encourage you to take your next best step to freedom, joy, and peace. Register now for the next Grace-Based Recovery Group. We can't wait to connect with you. To register, go to bebroken.org/GBR. That's bebroken.org/GBR, or you can call us at 210-822-8201. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. We are a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, I sit down with Dr. Carol Tanksley to explore the true meaning of intimacy beyond just sexuality. Dr. Carol shares updates about her ministry's amazing new space for healing and intensives. It's called Transformation Place. In our conversation, we discuss the universal need for connection with God and others. Dr. Carol offers practical steps for building deeper relationships, overcoming fear and shame, and embracing vulnerability. We also highlight several resources for anyone that's seeking healing from sexual brokenness. And to check out some of these resources from Carol, visit drcarolministries.com. That's drcarolministries.com. For more resources, visit bebroken.org. We're going to put a lot of links in today's show notes because Dr. Carol gives quite a few resources that are really valuable. And of course, as always, friends, I'm going to invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening, because this really does help others to find it when they're looking for this kind of content. Now, let's dive into today's honest and hope-filled conversation about cultivating intimacy and finding wholeness in our lives. Well, all right. We have back on the program with us Dr. Carol Tanksley. So, Carol, welcome back to the program.
Well, it's an honor to be back with you, Janet. I consider you a friend, and we're not that far down the road from each other, and it is just really special to be here with you again.
Yeah, so the last time we had you on was actually last summer, last August, and you talked about exploring the heart of sexuality. And it's interesting because I think the conversation we're eventually going to have today is going to go deeper and wider on the whole issue of intimacy. But before we get to that, I want you to share about just some things that have been going on in your ministry lately. We're recording this in March. And so there's been some things really recently that have been kind of exciting in your ministry. And I'd love for our audience to know more about it.
Well, thank you. As I've been getting ready for our annual board meeting, which is coming up soon, it was just reminding me about things God has done. And I can't say anything but thank you, Lord, for all of that. We've had our first events in our brand new space. As we were moving over the last year or so into some more in-person kinds of activities, it just really became clear that God was asking us to explore having our own space, and that came to pass. That was a series of miracles and also faith stretching. I think you know, Jonathan, and you and I kind of spoken about this in other contexts. When we try and go out there and try to gin up something, do something on our own, it usually doesn't go very well. But when God says, do this, it may take a lot of effort and a lot of work and a lot of faith, but it comes to pass, and it's bigger and more than you could have imagined on your own. And that's exactly what has happened with this physical space. 12 acres, in a town outside of Austin, Texas, here in Central Texas, on the edge of the beautiful Hill Country. Beautiful location. And this is where we are going to be holding our in-person events going forward. Intensives, I'll talk a little bit more about that. And we had our fundraising gala there as we're recording this just a couple weeks ago. And it was amazing to see the people come. And just when they walk in, it's like, wow, this is a space that is just that. It's wow. Look what the Lord has done. And we had a wonderful evening of sharing the vision and praising God for what he has done. And a lot of the people who were able to be a part of that, they were new to Dr. Carol Ministries, which is a special blessing for me to make new friends, make new connections there. Just a few days ago, we held our first intensive in this new beautiful, beautiful space, and just inviting this group of people to get deeper, open up the hard places in their story and their hearts and experience Jesus coming into their story. And the responses were amazing. And now that we have this space that we are in, we can do this more frequently, more regularly. And, you know, we're scheduling next ones. This is going to be ongoing. And I'm just excited about what God is doing.
So who are these intensives specifically for? Or do you have different types of intensives that you're doing in that space?
We do. Our primary focus right now is on women who have experienced some degree of sexual brokenness. And we have made the decision to not try and determine, were you the one acting out or were you the one acted out upon? And my reason for that is that I believe every one of us have experienced sexual harm in some way. You have shared your story, Jonathan, that was part of how it happened for you. And I think that's for all of us. And then we all respond differently. From the perspective of women, one response has been to just close yourself off and sex is bad. Some people use the word sexual anorexia. I don't really like labels, but that kind of perspective. Another perspective is after you've experienced harm, you're just acting out voraciously, you know, whether it's, you know, a lot of one night stands and hookups or whether it's pornography use or whatever. And the picture is, how do we deal with sexual brokenness toward wholeness, regardless of how it started and regardless of how you have responded? The point is bringing your story into the light with honesty and compassion, bringing Jesus into that story. And that's what this four-day intensive focuses on. We have been asked and are making plans to do this for couples. We haven't yet had one for couples, but we've been asked to, and we're moving toward that. And then I believe one day, you know, this is something that men need too. So it's people who are struggling with sexual brokenness.
Mm-hmm. Now, just personally, since I grew up in Central Texas, if I remember correctly, Liberty Hill is the community, right? Where
Yes, it is.
So
yes.
Here's just a little funny side note on that. So since I grew up in Central Texas, Liberty Hill was our main basketball rival when I was a senior in high school. And so originally, I did not have the best feelings towards Liberty Hill, but see that redemption can happen. Like even for a place like Liberty Hill, that there can be this amazing restorative work going on there. So,
anyway, well, I love that rivalry. And I particularly like the name of the town because liberty, Jesus brings us liberty. So,
yeah. Well, the topic that I wanted us to talk about today, thank you for sharing all that about the ministry updates, and we will put all of that in the show notes so people can know where to find out more about those intensives and what you're doing there. But the topic that we had for today was intimacy. And you know, my first question for you, because this has been something that I think you have, over the last few years, gotten a growing passion for, this whole topic around intimacy. And my first question is, why are you so passionate about this topic? Not only as it pertains to sexuality and sexual brokenness, but I feel like you're passionate about what intimacy actually means and what it is. Why is that?
I have come to believe that's what God cares about. and perhaps most about. I believe that God experiences within himself infinite intimacy, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when evil came, it messed up all of that. And Jesus came to restore us to intimacy with himself. The physical object lessons in this world, in this life, it's connected to sex. But I believe that the hunger for intimacy is universal. I have experienced a lot of brokenness around that. And as you know, Jonathan, God usually has a chuckling way of bringing us into what he wants us to do in his kingdom through our own broken story. And I certainly had that. I grew up in a home that was religiously on the outside looking good, but on the inside, a lot of relational brokenness, sexually and otherwise. And so when I grew up to be a young woman, I felt incredibly lonely, but didn't have any wherewithal to really develop healthy connections with people. And I had to work through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this is a, you know, an enormous topic, and it's one that's getting more and more attention. I think for a long time, just the idea of intimacy is one that has been written on a lot. There's been a lot of, you know, content, materials, programs out there. Interestingly enough, when this airs, our guests last week on the program were a couple, and the topic we were really honing in on was intimacy and how to rebuild that in a marriage and all that. So I feel like we're putting these episodes back to back, kind of doubling down and saying, okay, we want people to really focus in on that. But I'm going to ask you a question that I asked them, because I think definitions matter, at least for how we're trying to think about this. So how would you define intimacy for a person that maybe has heard this word all over the place and goes, but what is it? What are you talking about, Carol, when you say intimacy?
I'm talking about seeing and being seen, knowing and being known, no coverings, no barriers between. I believe it's the picture that is described in Genesis 2:25, the man and his wife were naked and they felt no shame. And certainly that meant no coverings over their bodies. But the Hebrew also has the sense of no barriers between them emotionally, spiritually, or otherwise, completely seen and known by another. And that is intimacy between me and another human being or human beings, and between me and God. One of the ways to think about this is to look at the example of Jesus. Jesus, who had experienced infinite intimacy with his Father and with the Holy Spirit in heaven, you know, came as a human being on earth, and yet he was never married, he never had sex, but as a human being, he needed intimacy. How did he deal with that? He dealt with it first by 24/7, 365 connection with his Heavenly Father. Intimate connection. This wasn't, oh God, please bless me today, and then I go out and do my thing. This was moment to moment, feeling in his very being that God was seeing him and with him, and that he was with his Father. But also, Jesus needed human intimacy. He pursued connection with others. Now, the difference between sex and intimacy is in part illustrated by Jesus' life. He had Peter, James, and John. He didn't have intimacy with the crowd, but he deeply sought that heart-level connection with a small number. Jesus' life also illustrates that the very people who were closest to him let him down and hurt him deeply. And we are likely to experience the same, but that heart-level need for connection and seeing and being seen, knowing and being known.
Yeah. Before we get into the specifics of, okay, what does this actually look like? How do you do this with God, with others? You know, how do you really try to learn what it means to be intimate? Can you talk a little bit about why it is important for us to get this broader understanding of relational intimacy before we even really start talking specifically about sexual intimacy? Why is it important to understand that every human has the need for intimacy, regardless of whether they're married or not?
I think that's a hugely important question, and thank you for asking it. One is that if I, as an unmarried person, I lived until my 40s unmarried, I had a beautiful marriage, and I'm living single again since my husband passed away, I have that need for connection. And if I believe that the only way I can get that hole in my soul filled is sex, well, I either have to get married or I have some kind of illicit kind of hookup, which I obviously don't want. And that leads to a lot of destruction. But I can believe the lie that any kind of sexual activity will fill that hole in my soul. And it doesn't. There are many marriages where no intimacy or very little intimacy happens, whether or not sex is happening. And for people who are not married, just taking the clothes off your body doesn't bring intimacy between you and another human being. I believe that ultimately God built the need for intimacy within us, eros, that is often equated with the desire for sex, but eros is much bigger. Eros is the hunger and the arousal to seek and pursue that kind of connection. I believe ultimately God put that within us to connect us with himself. And if I believe that having sex with another human being is going to meet that need, or solo sex, I mean, there's all kinds of variations now, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be wounded. It's also important to understand that that need for intimacy in my soul can be filled even as an unmarried person. Now, I want to fully acknowledge that as an unmarried person, I don't have the same experience as a woman who is married and having sex with a loving husband. But I can be happy and fulfilled without sex. I cannot be happy and fulfilled without intimacy.
That's good. I'm glad you brought up the issue of eros. And the reason is because I think sometimes we have conflated the idea of sensual with sexual.
Yes.
And the reality is like God created us with senses, both physical senses, but also emotional senses. And that's so important in intimacy. And we are to be sensory people. There's a sensual nature to our lives that we are to be connected with others. Touch is still supposed to be part of an unmarried person's understanding of intimacy with hugs and just different things like that. And so can you talk a little bit about the non-sexual, sensual experiences that are part of intimacy?
Hugely important. Sight, sound, touch, smell, all of it. We are embodied beings. God created us as embodied beings with the senses for a purpose. And one of the things that I, as a single again woman, experience is skin hunger. And I it's hard to put into words what happens in me when I am offered a hug or when I'm able to offer a hug to others. Because I have sensed this in myself, especially with another woman, I will often, are you okay for a hug? And then if she says yes, and I give her a hug, not just a 0.7 second, okay, and then we're done. Just embrace and just hold her. Just let the exhale come. Because the first moment you hug someone, it's okay, it's tense, all your muscles. But just to sit there for a moment and allow the feeling of being touched to nourish you. We need that. One of the things evil has done to that need is sexualize it.
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't have to be sexualized.
And I don't think it's supposed to be. Like, there's supposed to be a distinction between the kind of touch that leads to sex in a marriage and the kind of touch just we're to have as human beings. And the problem is because of the saturation of sexual brokenness in our culture, everything, like even a look, even a smile, even, I mean, all these things that are supposed to just be part of the human experience of connecting with one another has been tainted in a way. I wanted to ask you too. So if intimacy is, you know, seeing and being seen, knowing and being known, what are some of the most common obstacles, or maybe you could say even substitutes for experiencing real intimacy?
Yeah. One substitute is unhealthy sex. Sex that does not breed seeing and being seen ends up being destructive. And I want to say that's true regardless of relationship status. Married sex can end up driving the couple apart just like illicit unmarried sex could. So that's one. It's acting with your body along the lie that I must have a happy, satisfied sex life in order to be fully alive and whole. So believing that lie and the physical actions that may come from it is a barrier. There's another big one that I believe many, if not essentially everybody, experiences, and that is we pull walls up. I, as a human being, go into self-protection mode. When I have experienced harm, whether it's sexual harm or frankly any relational harm, I am going to put walls around my heart, sometimes unconsciously, that prevent me from, I want them to prevent me from getting hurt again. But the problem is they prevent other people from getting close to me and me getting close to them. I heard a young couple describe this in a picturesque way. Husband and wife, they were in their 20s, and they learned this very early, which is kudos to them. They said, we realized that when we were coming close to each other, all our prickly spines came out. And coming closer to each other, we realized we had to deal with that sharpness in our own self, around our own hearts, so that we could come closer together. And a lot of that comes from trauma in all its varieties, perhaps especially sexual trauma, that I don't want you to come closer. I do and I don't. Like Dr. Dan Allender says, it's this. Come closer. No, stay away. Mm-hmm. And that push-pull, we also do that with God. I want him to help me, but don't get too close. Don't mess with me. But I'm upset with you if you don't help me the way that I think you need to. And so this ambivalence is a factor in our human relationships and in our relationship with God because of the brokenness that we have experienced. So one of my frequent challenges to people is identify the walls that you have erected around your own heart, take ownership of them, and start taking down a brick at a time. The alternative is not to just demolish all walls and have no boundaries and anything goes. Mm-hmm. Frankly, that's not healthier. But take ownership of the walls and one brick at a time, decide where you want to take them down.
Yeah, I think another one of those universal factors that can sometimes limit us from experiencing real intimacy is rooted in shame. Because if you think about it, shame is always going to cause us to want to hide. I mean, go back to the garden. I mean, as soon as sin entered, the first thing is like, how do we hide? How do we cover? How do we not be seen? How do we not be known? And so I think shame is maybe, it could be at the root of all those things that you were talking about there. But let's talk about what can we do? So when we think about, let's talk first about our intimacy with God. What are some practical ways for a person that maybe has been far from God, doesn't know God, or maybe somebody who's feeling either stuck or stagnant or like divided in their relationship with God? What does it look like practically to move towards intimacy with our Creator?
I love that question. I think one helpful way to think about that is bring all parts of you to the party, so to speak, all parts of you to the relationship with God. If you're not used to spending much time with God, start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Let your body be present. Notice the things you are feeling in your body. Notice what emotional state you're in. Are you tired? Are you frustrated? Are you irritated? Are you sad? Are you afraid? Are you angry? Whatever your emotional state is, and bring those parts of you to the party. And you might just start with saying, God, I'm upset today. Stuff happened and people were messing with me and I don't like it. Why did you let that happen? I think one big part of intimacy with God is being real with Him, letting Him see the real you. And you mentioned shame. I'm so glad you did. That's huge. I often will ask people a question, something like, how do you feel God feels about you? Not necessarily what you intellectually believe or, quote, know, but what does your emotional self, your heart, feel He feels about you? And so often their response is disappointed. Sometimes it's another response, but that's the most common one I get. I feel like God is disappointed with me. And so I hesitate to come closer because I want to hide from Him. And intimacy requires that you take a step toward Him. So pursuing intimacy with God may look like, I'm really ashamed. I was thinking just earlier today about a statement I heard, and I can't remember where I heard this, that religion says, I messed up, my dad's going to kill me. The gospel says, I messed up, I better call my dad. Mm-hmm. Call your dad.
So to make it a little personal, what does this look like for you in your life, Carol, in terms of you seeking to cultivate a more intimate relationship with God? What are just some of the things that you do, either daily practices, or what does it look like for you to bring yourself fully into the presence of God?
When I wake up in the morning, I make myself a cup of coffee and I sit in my favorite chair. I have made the decision to not open my phone or look at any messages or emails or anything before I sit down for some time with God, because I know that if I just open my phone and check to see if there's any important emails there or something like that, my heart will be drawn away. So for me, that's become a really critical part of my life. I will sit there with my cup of coffee and I will start by something very simple, just saying, Lord, I'm here. I've got so much on my mind. I'm kind of concerned about all these things, but I just need to be here. I will usually end up reading a small portion of scripture. And then one of the most revolutionary things in my own journey with God was incorporating silence and stillness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will walk out on my back porch. And in my case, I have a place where I can look out over some hills and you know, green belt behind me. And I can just experience that as some silence and stillness. And I will just be. Maybe watch the sunrise, maybe listen to the coyotes or whatever. I'm allowing my senses to be present. I'm being still. I have learned that God doesn't add His voice over a cacophony of sound in my head. Most of the time, He waits until I have been able to quiet myself to some degree. And then I can sense His presence or hear His voice. It doesn't always feel the same emotionally.
Sure.
But that is something that I have incorporated into a daily practice of my own personal walk with God.
Great. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So now, what does this look like practically? What are some things that our listeners and viewers can do practically when they say, I want to experience more of what it means to see and be seen, to know and be known? What are some steps that they can take to pursue intimacy in their friendships, or maybe those who are married in their marriage relationship? But really, I'm trying to think about this more universally.
Sure.
Rather than trying to pigeonhole it just to married couples. We're talking to human beings.
Yes.
And what would you say are some practical steps that people could take to enhance the intimacy in their relationships?
I love that question. And by the way, I think you need one or a handful of close friends, regardless of relationship status, even married. If you're married, your spouse cannot carry all your load. So even if you're married, you need one or a few people. So how do you do that practically? Write down a list of a few handful of people among your acquaintances or friends who might be safe. Pray over your list, and then start with one person that maybe they'd be okay. You're going to feel anxious about this. You're going to feel nervous. But again, prayerfully choose one and approach them. You know, call them up or meet for coffee or the track or something, and approach it something like this. God is working on me. He's pulling me to become more whole. And in that process, I know I need to connect more deeply with perhaps a few people. I wonder if you might be one of my people. Could I talk with you about something? And you're looking for either literally or figuratively a person who kind of leans in a little bit. Yeah, sure. You know, tell me more, or that sounds hard, or whatever. You don't want somebody to come out with a list of stuff to fix you or make it all about them. You want to pursue somebody who at least demonstrates they might be willing to see you a little bit more. If you have some relationships already and you're wondering, could this be more satisfying? Just think about going one level deeper heart-wise. Some of the small groups at churches may be a place where you can do that. Not all are. And I know churches are doing all that they know, and many are doing a good job, but the way small groups are often managed in a church setting, it really isn't a real fruitful place for this deeper kind of heart level. Some are. But that's a way I would approach finding someone, and then maybe another. And I believe the goal is, like Jesus, who is your Peter, James, and John? 2 to 5 people in your life who know you and you know them. This is it's reciprocal. Knowing and being known. And you talk about the things you don't want to talk about. You challenge each other, encourage each other, pray with each other. You're up in each other's business. This is not easy in our culture. It's hard. I don't do this easily or well. I have to be intentional. I have to exert effort to do this. And all the people that I have talked with who are walking through relational stuff, sexual brokenness, this whole area of life, this is the thing that I have almost always found that they find the hardest to do. So I want to acknowledge that it's hard and it's messy, and just don't quit.
There's two phrases that come to my mind. I can't remember. I've lost the ability to remember everybody who says everything. So if you know who the credit goes to in this, it's not me. But the two phrases that come to my mind, one is do it afraid.
Yes.
And the other one is anything that's worth doing is worth doing poorly.
I like that. Both of those. Yes.
Both of them are basically saying you're going to be afraid and you're not going to do this well at first. But it's worth doing. So do it afraid and do it poorly and just keep at it. And yep. So I just, as we kind of land the plane here, what would be just some other things that you would want people to absolutely know that maybe we haven't covered about intimacy, or just some encouragement for anybody that's saying, you know, I'm having to breathe into a paper sack right now thinking about what this is going to be like?
Yes. If you need to breathe in a paper sack, breathe in a paper sack. I want to second that. Yeah, you're almost certainly going to be afraid and do it anyway. I would want to encourage someone who feels undone about this to realize that Jesus is patient but relentless. And that goes for your own healing from your own broken story in whatever dimension. It also goes for this becoming capable of intimacy. I think a big part of sexual wholeness is becoming capable of intimacy, whether or not you're married and can have, you know, healthy sex. And so it's a process, and it's okay that it's a process. So just take the next step with a person and with God. You will find that the effort is worth it. It won't feel like that every day. But you will not get to the wholeness you hunger for without pursuing this. And it's worth it.
This has been good, Carol. Let our listeners know about maybe some resources that you have that can help them take a next step in this journey of intimacy, and also where they can get all of the information that you have and resources.
Yeah. The hub for everything is drcarolministries.com, D-R-C-A-R-O-L ministries.com. A couple particular things to point out. We have a free download, a 5-part prescription for sexual healing God's way that helps people in bite-sized pieces, just 5 simple steps toward that process. Not that any of this is simple, but it helps put it in perspective. We have a all-new online video digital course, Sexpectations, that I am thrilled about. And you can find that the link is there, or you can go to yoursexpectations.com. And what that online course does, beyond just teaching elements, it includes in every module an experience with Jesus. We have crafted this so just you and your divine, that you can feel Jesus coming into your life. We take scripture, put it into the 21st century, and walk people through an emotional experience with Jesus. And things change when Jesus shows up. We also have our intensives, drcarolministries.com/intensives, if that kind of experience is something that would benefit you. And I think there's a lot of people that it would benefit.
Yeah. Well, Carol, as always, we love having you on the program. Thank you for sharing your insights and time with us today.
Well, it's been rich, Jonathan. I am always lifted up by spending some time with you.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to put a lot of really great resources in the show notes to help you connect with Dr. Carol's information. We want to help you take your next best step towards experiencing wholeness in Christ. And so please reach out to us. And as always, we're so glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the PSR podcast. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.